Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we've got a great episode in store for you all, but... Oh, sorry, Jim. I need to take this.
Oh, okay. But could you keep it short?
Yeah, I'll try. Hello, this is Dr. Love.
All right, Patrick, it's really fun to hear from the listeners. We love the listeners. Yeah. We love that they listen. And
right.
but also that they contribute, right? So we do a lot of things with the listeners. You know, we have the calls every month on the new music selections. We do the year-end stuff, favorite albums and whatnot. We have the patron episodes. I mean, there's lots of different things that we do. But one thing it's really simple people can do is just send us an email or call and leave a message, and we may not be super prompt about getting to it, but we will get to it. So the way you can correspond with the show is call 612-440-1984 and leave a message there, or you can email rock@suburbspod.com, or you can tweet at us and for Facebook comment or whatever. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those are at Suburbs Pod is the handle. Yep. So let's just say that. The show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And today we're going to do another fan mail episode where we feature this listener correspondence. We're going to do two topics. The first one deals with, we talked a little bit on one episode about sequel songs. I think it was a mention on something. And Justin Steiner called in about that.
Oh, so great.
Hey there, Jim and Patrick, interns, my Friday night hootenanny family, and the rest of you out there in Suburbs Pod land. It is Justin Steiner from Valparaiso, Indiana, calling in with a quick word. I just finished listening to the last of the September new music picks, and Walt Falconer was talking about a sequel song to Jesse's Girl, and you guys were kind of chatting about it. And something that sprung to my mind was a song by Acquaville River, which is called Plus Ones from their 2007 album, The Stage Names. Plus Ones actually does just that. It takes some famous songs with numbers in them and has some really interesting lyrics where you just add one in. So instead of 96 tiers, you've got 97 tiers, so on and so forth. They hit 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover and 99 Love Balloons, 7 Chinese Brothers, Cell 44 from the Zombies. Lots of clever interplay in there. Just a really cool tune, and an album that if people haven't heard it, they should check it out. So anyway, that's what I've got. Keep on rocking every day, guys. Bye.
All right. Thanks to Justin for that.
Yeah, such a great man.
Now, are you familiar with this song, Plus Ones?
I am. Yeah, it's a really cool song. Okay. I like Acquaville River a lot. And, you know, Justin mentioned the Friday Night Hootenanny family. I actually played an Acquaville River song once on the Hootenanny back when my thumb worked. And hopefully that'll happen again someday. But, yeah, it's great. It's one of those, you know, there are certain songs I think in like music history and rock and roll history where they're like, okay, we're just going to totally geek out just for like all the people that are obsessed with, you know, titles and music and all this stuff, just like we are. And, you know, Justin described it beautifully. I think there's a line, it's like, it's a tune about the 100th Left Balloon or something like that.
Okay.
it's really good.
I want to hear this. So this is from 2007. The album is The Stage Names.
Stage Names, song.
Is Plus Ones, which of course, Plus One is also a music term.
Totally.
You know, when you get on the guest list and get a plus one, right?
Yep, yep. The best thing to have. You can be my plus one.
That's right. Like, oh my God, it's so exciting. I know. So anyway, let's hear a little bit of this song.
No one wants to hear about your 97th tear, so dry your eyes or let it go uncried, my dear. I am all out of love to mouth and to your ear, and not above letting a love song disappear before it's written. And no one wants a tune about the 100th left balloon that was seen shooting from the window of your room to be a spot against the sky's colossal gloom. and land deflated in some neighbor's state that's strewn with 99 others. 8 Chinese brothers. Well, there's a reason why the last is smiling wider, sitting higher than the others, swinging his arms. Shot up 9 miles high, your eyes dilated as light played upon the side of TVC 16 as it sings you good night. Relaxed as hell and locked up in cell 45. Well, I hope you're feeling better.
That is super clever.
It's great. Yeah, he's amazing. Will Sheff, the main guy of Acapulco River, definitely a great band to check out if you guys don't know him. I got to tell you once, I don't know if this probably happened to everybody at one time or another, if you're into music and going to a lot of shows. This was back probably like, gosh, I don't know, 2004, 2005, something like that. There was this coffee shop in Arlington, this pretty little coffee shop that was right kind of on Clarendon Boulevard in the Clarendon area there near the metro. And it was a tiny place. I didn't even know they had shows. I just happened to be in there one day getting coffee, and I saw they had a flyer for Acapulco River and Shearwater, which Shearwater was kind of like the companion band, mm-hmm. or I guess they still are together, to Acapulco River. And I'm like, they're playing here? That can't be possible. You know, there's not. This place, number one, I'd never heard of them having shows, and there's no way those two bands could play there. But I showed up on the night, and sure enough, there they were. It was like 30 people. It was just one of those weird things where you're like, I didn't even know this venue had shows, and why did they book this here? And it's not like they had a ton of shows. It was just something where, I don't know, maybe they couldn't find another place to play that night, or I don't know, but it was cool. And
that was odd.
Really weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Okay. Now, here's what we're going to do for the rest of this episode. We're going to do sort of a lightning round of correspondence. We got a lot of short items here. I think they were mostly over social media, and they referenced the Kiss Week that somehow got on this show and back in September, looks like.
That's right. When you weren't looking, we snuck it in there.
I was off that week, and you had some different co-hosts on, right? And you talked about this band that a few people know called Kiss.
That's right.
Yeah. So it created some like a flurry of correspondence, of course.
Excellent.
And so let me just read some of these to you, Patrick, and get your response, okay? Get your reaction. All right. Mm-hmm. And we have a tweet from David Leedy. I think that's Dave from Kenosha. Yes, it is. Yeah. Dave from Kenosha. He says, fun week of discussion. Alive 2 was one of the first records I bought. The band was scary. Look at Gene on that record cover. But it also came with tattoos. Did you guys talk about that, the tattoos?
I'm not sure if anybody, I think I did that one with the Bish. I'm not sure if we ever had our tattoos or neither of us could remember. So that's, I don't remember that. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Then David says, if I had a time machine, I'd be hitting the local ice arena on March 27th, 1975. And he included here what looks like a little newspaper ad, image here of a newspaper ad in concert, Kiss with special guest star Rush, also appearing Thin Lizzy. And that's Thursday, March 27th, 7:30 p.m. at the Kenosha Ice Arena.
Talk about weird places to have shows, and what a lineup. Holy Christmas. That must have been mind-blowing.
Am I reading this price correctly? I can't quite see it.
Yeah, it's
very
pretty small.
But does it say?
It's like
$550 in advance. $550 in advance, $650 day of show, I think it is.
Wow.
Something like that.
Well, if anybody has a plus one, I'll be their plus one.
Okay. Then here's a tweet from Joel. He's at Gen X Live is his handle on Twitter. The NYC street rock in early Kiss served as a gateway to a lifelong love of power pop, post-punk, garage, and alternative. Kiss Week served as a welcome respite from the news, and thanks to Patrick and guests. So that first part,
Joel,
there, is that interesting to you? How that was sort of a gateway band into a lot of these other styles of music?
Yeah, it really is. I think that's really cool. I mean, you know, like we talked about, I mean, I think it was Tom Nuremberg who was on that episode with the debut album. And, you know, we were just talking about how stripped down it was. And I can definitely see that it would allow you to branch off in different directions, not necessarily into harder stuff, but maybe into poppier stuff right. or hookier stuff. So that's really cool.
Okay, then reference to Rock and Roll Over, Brett Motif says, I love the big hits on this record, but my sleeper single is Mr. Speed.
Interesting. That's a cool little tune. Brett's kind of a Mr. Speed guy. I can see that.
Yeah.
He's a great man.
For sure.
Absolutely. That's cool. It's a cool little song. I mean, they used like acoustic guitar on that record a lot more than people would remember. And it's probably the only one where they really worked it in. And that one's definitely got some cool acoustic guitar riffs on it. I think they were listening to Paul Stanley was listening to a lot of Rod Stewart or something when they recorded that album.
Yep. Okay, then Joel at Gen X Live again says, favorite Kiss Week episode so far, speaking of a Rock and Roll Over.
Yeah.
This is the studio album that best captures the working band. Paul's craft, Peter's vocals, Ace's solos, and Dr. Love hits number 16 on the charts and has cowbell. Oh, yep. That's the 70s. So,
yeah. Take a deep breath and remember the 70s. That's right. That's just as good of a cowbell song as, that other famous one.
That's right.
But, yeah.
Okay, then in reference to Love Guns, Scott Parks says, you're killing it with Kiss Week. I think today's episode was the best so far. One thing you won't be getting from me is a defense of 80s Kiss.
Oh, okay. Drawing the line in the sand. Yeah. It's hard to mount a defense for anything kind of after Dynasty or anything. Although, you know, there are people out there who will do it. I think Mike Coley will give you a pretty strong defense of some of those records. So,
okay, you'll have to explain what this means. Okay. Patrick, this is in reference to Destroyer.
Right.
Randall Brown, first he says this is today's T-shirt. And there's an image there, if you can see that, of Kiss. All their like highly illustrated glory, but and he says Destroyer was my intro into Kiss. It set the bar,
right?
And then he says definitely talk about the Elder sometime. So what is he talking about there?
Well, in the 80s, speaking of, and maybe Randall will make a defense too, Kiss made what was supposed to be this concept album called The Elder that had all these different themes that sort of intertwined, and the music was supposed to be connected. I would say most people say it fell pretty short of, say, Quadrophenia or something like that. That's a unified piece of work. But they went for it and they tried. There are certain people that really like it, you know, that it really kind of got into the whole story and, you know, followed the concept and thought it worked. Unfortunately, I think for me, I was kind of, you know, over my hardcore Kiss phase at that point, and, you know, it was tougher for me to take that seriously, but it would be worth, you know, doing a discussion on it sometime. I think the album was 81 or 82, so it was pretty early into the 80s.
All right.
And I think somebody made a movie about it or something, or I'm not exactly sure.
All right. Well, I've got some time off on the calendar coming up. I think it's been approved. So you can call up Randall. You guys can have at it, right?
There you go. Okay. Let us know. Give us some time.
All right. Here we go back to Joel at Gen X Live again.
Yeah.
He was really into this week.
Yeah.
So he says, wow, podcast as Da Vinci Code. Alice Cooper's Nightmare and Destroyer were my first two albums.
Hmm.
In the 2000s, I moved on to Gary Louris's Block. Bob Ezrin's production has been guiding my entire life. What other eternal truths will be revealed in Kiss Week? I don't know. You'll have to tell us, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe we found the key to Joel's branching into, you know, all country and power pop, right? Maybe it's Bob Ezrin that kind of led him along those lines, producing all those records. That's pretty cool. I remember when Joel sent some of these out, too, and they were great. So, yeah, it's nice to read them again.
Well, here's Joel again.
Yes.
In reference to Alive, he says, while Frampton Comes Alive ruled the neighborhood for a handful of elementary school knuckleheads, aspiring rock and rollers, Kiss was ours.
Yes.
Alive packaged fantasy, myth, performance, and garage rock to perfection. Paul taught us how to make a screwdriver. 5 stars forever.
Beautiful. That sums it up really, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a knucklehead back in elementary school, no doubt about it. And an aspiring rock and roller. Perfect.
Okay, and then Gerald Trzynski again says Black Diamond is a hugely underrated song.
Out on the street for a living, pictures only begun.
Got you under their thumb. Says my first two concerts were Kiss in 77 and Rush in 78. When the 80s hit, I went all post-punk and new wave.
So, yeah, there you go. Yeah, kind of similar there. And man, those are two pretty good first concerts, right? Kiss and Rush.
There you go.
Back in the classic days.
And then just some other kind of general feedback on Kiss Week. Brett Motif says Destroyer started it all for me when I went back and went through the entire catalog. Sorry about that. I've got favorites on each. Got to say they're more stripped down, less produced rock tunes led the way for me. The earlier track Strutter has always been a top Kiss tune on my list.
Yeah, well said. And
that's a
Strutter,
fan favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, totally great. And I think, you know, it's a good point Brett makes because Destroyer had Beth on it, and a lot of people, you know, maybe if you'd never heard them, or you know, you weren't a knucklehead or aspiring rock and roller, or you were listening to Frampton Comes Alive, you know, that tune opened the door for a lot of people. I mean, it was a big hit. It was unconventional. It didn't sound like the rest of their stuff, but, you know, many people may have heard it and said, wait a minute, there's a whole lot of cool stuff going on here. So, yeah, Destroyer.
Okay, and then one last comment here. This is from Brett Bodenhammer.
Okay.
And he obviously posted this early on because he said, looking forward to Kiss Week. And then he says, even though I never bought an album, they are part of my music history. My friend's older brother, when I was in junior high, had Alive 2, and we would sneak into his bedroom and listen to it. Mom forbidding them made them more interesting, too.
That's the total parental seal of approval is you can't listen to this band.
Right.
So, you know, that's off limits. That's going to make me want to find it. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people like that, too, that older brother or in my case, yes, a cousin, older cousin who had that record and you went in their room and closed the door.
That's
and,
right.
And listened to it and looked at the album cover.
Yeah. And Kiss were, I mean, you know, you cannot deny their marketing savvy over the years. Right. And,
and
they knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
And they knew that if the parents hated them, that the kids would love them more, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. They had that zeroed in. I think a lot of bands, Kiss and Gene Simmons, you know, they're due for creating these like merch streams, right, that we have nowadays. Just that, you know, fans want to be a deeper part of it, you know, other than the music. They want the patch and they want to be in the Kiss Army.
That's
and
right.
All that stuff. Totally. Yeah.
So. No, they absolutely knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Really smart that way.
Yep. Totally. Totally. Even from the very beginning, they wanted it to be like that. So.
Right. So, okay. So there you go. There's some Kiss correspondence for you, Patrick.
Lovely. Thanks everybody to who took the time to comment on that. That was a lot of fun to do. And thanks, the Bish, Mike Coley, and Tom Nuremberg all appeared with me on those episodes too. So that was great.
They were fun.
Yeah.
Okay. That does it for today.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. Got to rock and roll over. All right, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick.
And we'll talk to you all later.